Scientists from the University of Copenhagen have recreated the genome of a Stone Age woman after examining her DNA from 5,700-year-old chewing gum. It's the first time researchers have been able to reconstruct a human genome from non-human material. Previously, they were only able to extract a human genome from bone. The findings were just published in the science journal Nature Communications. If you're wondering, that chewing gum is actually birch pitch, made by heating the bark of birch trees. It's long been used as a glue-like material for construction tools. Archaeologists believe the birch pitch was chewed to soften it before use. The birch pitch gum was discovered at an archaeological site on an island in Denmark. The scientists also identified DNA of plants and animals consumed by the woman, including hazelnuts and duck, and the DNA of microbes that were in her mouth. Well, as online shopping increases, Amazon has put scores of mom-and-pop shops across the nation out of business, and now it is putting pressure on a local favorite in Nashville. The company just opened a brick-and-mortar bookstore across the street from one of the city's beloved independent bookshops. WPLN's Rachel Iacovone has the story.
Parnassus Books looks small from the outside, but when you enter the shop, it stretches back past your line of sight. It's there, in a small office tucked into the corner, that Ann Patchett answers the always-ringing phone.
Parnassus Books.
Patchett is Parnassus's co-owner, a best-selling author herself, and today, a customer service rep.
It is so possible. It's not just possible, it's probable.
Patchett decided to open this bookstore 8 years ago, in large part because she couldn't find a local place to carry one of her own novels. They'd all closed down. Desperate, she ended up talking her tailor into selling it.
You could have your pants shortened and buy a copy of State of Wonder.
That was long before online retail giant Amazon announced it would open a bookstore in the same neighborhood. Patchett says she's up for the challenge.
I sort of feel like, okay, I'm going to put on the Joan of Arc suit and stand up for independent bookstores.
Books may have been around since before the Hundred Years' War, but bookstores constantly come and go. Before the 1990s, almost every bookstore you'd come across was independent. But then came big box names like Barnes & Noble, Borders, and Books A Million. They pushed out one in three independent bookstores. Later that decade, their momentum was slowed by the launch of Amazon. Then, for many big box retailers, the kill shot came in 2007, when Amazon launched the Kindle e-reader. As the big stores went out of business, an opportunity was created for independent booksellers to rebound, including Parnassus, which salvaged lights and shelves from a closed-down Borders.
In fact, the chairs that we use for events also came from my Borders store.
That's Andy Brennan. He was the former manager of a local Borders and now manages Parnassus. Parnassus has thrived by focusing on boutique services like personalized recommendations, age and interest-specific book clubs, and author events.
In the first month that we were open, I think I brought those chairs out and set them up more times than I ever did in my 6 years at Borders.
Across the country from Parnassus, in Seattle, there's a similar shop called University Bookstore. Pam Cady has been its manager for 38 years.
I love books, and I love people who buy books. It's a great combination.
Cady's store has been in business for more than a century, but 5 years ago, it found itself in Parnassus's shoes. That's when the very first Amazon Books opened half a mile away. After some initial fear, Cady soon learned the only thing her shop had in common with Amazon's new store was the books part of its name.
Well, you walk in and it's very tech-oriented. They want you to sign up for Amazon Prime. They get all of your information. It's like, how can we design a store for the future, for what they want the future to be?
Amazon doesn't disagree. They say their devices are a big part of their brick-and-mortar business. Their book selection is limited to top online sellers. The goal isn't necessarily to sell books, but to draw in foot traffic for bigger buys, like Alexa devices.
Have you guys ever tried to wash a dog?
Back at Parnassus, on any given Thursday, you can find a gathering of little ones listening with wide-eyed enthusiasm to a volunteer reader. Today, the kids have chosen dog-related books for weekly story time, and they get through half a dozen before playtime begins on the store's popular train table. Margaret Watson has brought her five-year-old.
We were actually getting a cookie after school at the bakery next door, and Jack, my son, said that he wanted to go to the bookstore.
Jack is leading the younger kids in a competition of who can get their train down the tracks fastest. As a Nashville native, Watson takes her son to Parnassus to relive some of her own childhood spent at a since-closed independent bookstore across the street.
I have really good memories of just being there, spending a lot of time there, you know, with my parents, and I love it here. It's really nice.
When Watson found out Amazon was opening just feet away, she was concerned her and Jack's favorite weekday stop would be affected. But then she thought about how stress-free a trip to Parnassus is for parents.
It's pretty easy to access, which is, like, humongous if you have a child. You know, going to the mall is just... There's no way we would do that after school.
Amazon opened its doors in late November, but Parnassus says it's here to stay. For Here and Now, I'm Rachel Iacovone.